Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Wake Up to Purpose with your host, John Stanko. This program will help you find your purpose and, more importantly, how to make your purpose work for you. And now, here's John Stanko.
Well, hello out there in internet land, wherever you are and wherever you are listening from. This is John Stanko, your host, and I'm delighted you're back today or back whenever it is that you are listening. If you are live, you know that yesterday, or perhaps you don't know, yesterday I had Pastor Alex Ilash on, who is from Odessa, Ukraine, but is visiting family in North America and has also been raising awareness of the situation and circumstances in Ukraine, and also letting people know what his church's response has been to the situation there. And he's going to be returning soon, so I thought it would be good if we had him on again to talk a little bit more about the circumstances there, his own ministry, his testimony. So let's not waste any time. Let's bring Pastor Alex on. It is spinning. There it is. Pastor Alex, welcome back to Wake Up to Purpose.
Thank you. Thank you very much. So good to be with you again. And, I really enjoying this time to share with you about Ukraine and about our ministry there.
Yes, yes. And so in case anybody, Pastor, didn't listen yesterday, just give them an overview of who you are and what you're doing, and even going a little bit to what your church is doing with the current situation in your homeland.
Well, I'm 33 years old. I'm married. My wife's name is Anastasia. We have two wonderful children, son Joseph and daughter Lika. And currently, we're doing humanitarian efforts ministry in Ukraine. Before the actual war, I was a youth pastor in our church, and I did the youth ministry for 12 years. And after the war hit the country, we started, the Lord provided opportunity and resources and desire to do humanitarian efforts to help to those refugee and internally displaced people to our area, whose numbers now these days up to 50,000 people. We're feeding the people, we're providing them different supplies, such as medication, diapers for their kids nutrition, clothes, bed clothing, different supplies that they need, that they lost everything and they require. But most important is that we're using this opportunity, this situation, opportunity to preach the gospel to those people, to share about our loving Jesus, about our God who cares of them. Even while war hit the country, he really cares. He really loves them. And this is main idea of our ministry and of our mission, to feed the hungry, but also to preach the gospel to them, to let them know about Jesus. That's what we're doing this more than a year now.
Yeah. And to talk to us a little bit about the war itself. Were you surprised when war broke out? I know you mentioned yesterday this is not the first incursion into Ukrainian territory that the Russians have made. You made reference to 2014. But take us back to last February, 2022. What was the mindset in the country? What were you thinking? And what was it like when war broke out?
You know, this is a very interesting question because it really leads the story to my testimony. You said what was the feeling inside of the country, and what does people thought at that time? I'm telling you, I'm not sure if you have heard about that or not, but back to February last year, most of the population in my country they were skeptical about possibility of Russian invasion, including me and my family. You know, even counting that fact that me and the other brothers from our church and my father, we completed about 15 humanitarian trips back to 2015, after 2018, to the east of my country, to Donetsk area and Lugansk area. We deliver their supplies to people who suffered there because of Russian invasion. We have seen it all in our own eyes. I talked to those people. I saw the horror of Russian invasion back to 2014. But I'm telling you, for some reason, well, I thought that, okay, this is something that happened 8 years ago. From that moment, the government and the leaders of my country, they made some conclusions. You know, they might be prepared. They might be warned. I thought that simply even world leaders, they will not allow to Putin to invade sovereign country in 2022. I thought that simply Putin will not dare. And when we heard the news, because United States intelligence, they warned our leadership. They sent messages back to November and December of 2021, like a few months before invasion. They sent those messages saying, it looks like Putin gathering his troops all around your border, all around the northeast border. It looks like they're gathering their tanks, their artillery, everything. And, yeah, they say that this is just their practice, but we have information that they are going to invade your country. Putin will try to conquer the rest of Ukraine. And I'm telling you, we're always skeptical. We thought, well, this is nonsense. That's not going to happen. And, you know, that this is how my story begins. It's a great testimony, you know, that 1 month before invasion that happened back to beginning of January 2022, I was at one Christian political conference in the capital of my country, in the city of Kyiv. And, you know, during the sessions, there was a lunch break. You know, I always say that people in Ukraine, they're pretty much the same as people in the United States. They all enjoying lunch breaks. You know, I enjoy that lunch break there with different people. I talked with one pastor there. We discussed with him a number of things about family, about church. And then recently he asked me a question. He said, Alex, how do you and your people down there to Izmail, that region, how do you prepare yourself for possible Russian invasion? And I'm telling you, that was an unexpected question, but I was honest with him, and I said, you know, Pastor, to be honest, we don't really believe that Putin will be there. We don't really believe that it's going to happen. That's why, obviously, we're doing nothing to prepare ourselves. And when I said that, he looked at me strictly, and very seriously, he said, Alex, I'm going to give you this advice, it's 4 points, very simple things, but I really wish you're going to take it and you're going to use this for your family. He said, when you're back home to your city, pack your traveling suits for your wife, for your kids, for yourself, with some most needed items for travel. Then please double check your traveling passports, just to be sure that you know where your passports for you, for your kids, just to make sure that they are not expired and you're ready for travel. And please withdraw some money, have some money in cash, and make sure your gasoline tank of your car is always filled with the fuel. That was his advice. And I looked at him, and I was like, well, but why? For what reason? Why do I need this? And he said, well, Alex, you know, we have some experience based on what happened to our country back to 2014. And we find, you know, it's obvious when Russia invaded the country, it's chaos, it's panic all around. People want to move their families outside of the country, and they're trying to get some gas, they're trying to get some money from ATM machines. So just in 2 hours, there will be no gas at the gas stations. Just in 3 hours, there will be no money in ATM machines. And you don't want to have these obstacles on your way to leave the country. For I am telling you, Alex, if Russia will invade the country, you want to move your family outside of Ukraine. For you have no idea what Russian soldiers can do to civilian people, especially to women and to kids. And, you know, we all have seen with you, we all have seen what they've done to our people, to innocent people of Ukraine. It has been shown on the TVs all around the world just in a couple of months. You know, Bucha, Irpin, all those small cities around Kyiv. So, and he said, you want to move your family outside of this country to a safe place. And, you know, today, when I think of this, of his some people, can you hear me? Hello?
I can hear you. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm sorry. Something breaking up. So when I'm sharing this story and when I tell to people about these advices that I got from him, it sounds really reasonable and it makes sense now. But because we're looking at the situation through the perspective of what already happened.
Mm-hmm.
But that time, I just want to remind you that people were skeptical about that. I was skeptical. So when he shared with me those advices, that advice, I thought, wow, this is just a scared pastor. This is just very
mm-hmm.
scared man. And I was almost like, oh, you're a little faith. Where is your faith? You know, it's
mm-hmm.
just like Jesus
mm-hmm.
said one day to somebody in the Bible. I was like, oh, you're a little faith. Where is your faith?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't tell this to him. That was my thought. But I'm telling you, just in 2 hours after I thought like that, I heard the voice inside of mine, still being at that conference, I heard the voice inside of mine speaking to me. And now I know that was the voice of God. And the voice asked me just one question. He said, why wouldn't you do what he tell you, Alex?
Mm.
And, you know, I started like thinking about that. Okay, Alex, is this really hard for you to pack the bags for you and for your
mm-hmm.
kids and for your wife? Well, this is simple. This is easy. Is this really hard for you to withdraw some money and have it in cash? No, that's not. Is this really hard for you to refuel your car with the gasoline after every 100 miles you drive? Well, this is also an easy thing. So why wouldn't you do what he tell you, Alex? That was the question
mm-hmm.
inside of mine. And, you know, the next day, coming back to my city, still being kind of skeptical, having that hesitation, I completed all of those instructions because of that voice inside of mine that spoke to me.
Mm.
And, you know, the interesting point in this story that I tried to share those advices with some friends of mine, with some people, with relatives, gently, because I knew what society thought. Gently, I tried to share with them, saying, hey, you know, I've been to Kyiv. I talked there with that man, and he gave me these advices. And here it is. Just why wouldn't you take it and use it for your family? And, you know, believe me or not, but everyone, you know, I mean, nobody took those advices too serious.
Mm-hmm.
People were just laughing at me. When I shared with someone that I prepared and my bags are packed and I'm refueling my car after every 100 mile, they were laughing at me like, are you serious? Like, how long are you going to have those bags packed in your house? For how long are you planning to refuel your car after every 100 miles? No, are you serious? That's funny. Alex, stop listening to those scared people. Alex, stop watch that Western propaganda news. But, you know, this is something about obedience and faith in obedience. You know, I knew the voice. I knew that it was from God. And I'm telling
mm-hmm.
you, when finally Russia invaded our country 1 month after that conference, we were ready that day. Me and my
mm-hmm.
wife and my kids, we were ready. And that's how we were able to leave the country right in time and without any restrictions and without any difficulties on the border.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Now, when we were together for lunch, you told me one of the reasons we had heard was the Russians were coming to protect Russian-speaking people from mistreatment in Ukraine. But you told me that's not quite the story. And so give us your perspective on one of the reasons, at least, that we've heard the rationale for the invasion.
Well, you know, that's true. Very often, quite often, we can hear Vladimir Putin saying that he started this war to protect Russian-speaking people in Ukraine. He quoted several times that Russian-speaking people, they being oppressed, they kind of under some persecution in Ukraine, they mistreated. But, you know, that's not true. That's simply not true, and I have a confidence to say that because I am Russian-speaking. Because, mm-hmm. I mean, all of my life, I'm originally from this very south of Odessa region, and all of Odessa region known that it's Russian-speaking. Most of people, well, at least they were before the war. Now I know many people trying to switch it to speak Ukrainian, but that's the other subject. I mean, before the war, Odessa were known for is Russian-speaking people, and I was Russian-speaking all of my life, and I'm telling you, I traveled all around Ukraine, north to south, west to east, in the ministry, just with my family for vacation, you know, visiting friends, as a tourist. I've been everywhere around, and every time I spoke Russian, and, you know, I have never, ever felt any oppression, any mistreatment because of my language. You know, mm-hmm. matter of fact, last a year before invasion, I think that was New Year 2022. I spent that those days like New Year celebration with my friends in Lviv, and Lviv is famous all around Ukraine as very very Ukrainian city. Like people speak mainly Ukrainian there, and they're very mm-hmm. much patriotic, and like even. I've heard a lot of talks that if you speak Russian in Ukraine, like in Lviv, like there are a lot of people who don't like Russian-speaking people, and you can get in trouble if you speak Russian there. Well, I experienced that on myself. You know, I for purpose, being in Lviv, I know how to speak Ukrainian. I can speak Ukrainian. But for the purpose, just to test that, being in Lviv, I spoke with people only in Russian language there. And I'm telling you, I was surprised that I never felt any oppression, even in Lviv. You know, that people were kindly, kind and friendly. And, you know, as long as you're a good person, as long as you, like you're a normal person, it's fine. Nobody will mistreat you. Nobody will do anything wrong to you because of your language. So, you know, the people who really suffered on this war, first of all, that's Russian-speaking people because, as you know, Ukraine, Putin and his army, they're fighting now on the eastern part of Ukraine. They're destroying cities there. They're destroying all regions. And that part of Ukraine, famous as a Russian-speaking people. So I would say mm-hmm. that Putin saying that he got to Ukraine to protect his Russian-speaking people. But in fact, it's just opposite because Russian-speaking people, they really suffer there on the east because of his bombs, because of his missiles, because how they treat civilian people there. And those people, they find out that what is the reality of Russian army who got there to liberate them. So, yeah, mm-hmm. that's my view.
Yeah. Alex, do you see an end to the war? What will cause this to cease and desist?
Ask me again with the other wars.
Do you see an end to the war? What would cause this war to stop? What would cause Putin to change his mind and go home? What do you see that happening,
well,
or do you see this going long term?
I think this is going long term if our army will not get bad weapons that our president and our minister of defense asking and appealing to the other governments to provide, because I don't think that something might change Putin's mind. I think he is ill person and he's sick, mentally sick person. I think he has that agenda to get back Ukraine and to put together those countries back to Soviet Union. So I don't think that's something. I don't believe he appreciate lives of his people. I don't believe he appreciate or value lives of his soldiers. He just has idea, and he is ready to lost everything trying to reach it, to get that accomplished.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
I think
that's
the
my...
only chance for us.
Go ahead. No, go ahead, man.
Yeah, I think the only way for this war to be stopped is for Ukraine to get its victory. And, you know, I will say something in addition to that. Me personally, I don't believe that it is a war just of Ukraine against Russia or Russia against Ukraine. That is a war of Russia against humanity, against, you know, against the entire world, and against Christianity. That's what I believe as a Christian. But it's Russia's war against the entire world. Because some people mistakenly thinking that if Ukraine would surrender, if Ukraine would just surrender, then there will be no more victims of that war. There will be no people who would suffer. Putin will stop. No, you know, that man, he is imperialistic minded. He has idea, agenda in his head. And if he will overcome Ukraine, if Ukraine will surrender, that will make him feeling even stronger. That will make him feeling like, okay, I have my nukes, I have my army, I have, you know, and I can do whatever I want. And now, after I conquered Ukraine, I can accomplish the rest of my ideas. Getting back Poland, getting back Baltic states, Latvia, Lithuania, Estonia, because this is his idea. That's what they want. And this is what they talk on their TV with their propagandists, what they want to do. They, you know, they just giving that idea to their ideology to their society, to their people, that Ukraine, that's not the end, you know, that there are other countries who are an enemy of our country and we have to conquer them as well. That's why I say that this is his war against whole Europe, whole world. He just started with Ukraine. And these days, Ukraine stays as a living shield between civilization, between democracy, and, you know, that dictatorship world and godless nation. And that's why it's very important for the rest of the countries to support Ukraine and to help to Ukraine, Ukrainian soldiers, Ukrainian army, to defeat Russia. That's what I believe.
Wow. Yes, I would agree, and I said from the beginning, I think Mr. Putin wants to bomb Ukraine back into the Stone Age. He wants to destroy it and rule it as they once did, and he won't stop at anything. And we just have to trust the Lord that God will intervene and resist him. Yesterday you told us a story of how God protected Odessa in the early days of the war, and I know you have many other stories of how what the Lord has done during this siege of your country. Anything else, any other stories that you can tell us that would encourage people to continue to pray and donate and do what they can to strengthen the work of your church and other churches in Ukraine at this time?
Yeah, you know, John, I have a lot of stories, a lot of testimonies to share. But before I share the other one, I want just to ask your auditory, your listeners, to pray for Ukraine. Because just yesterday, I'm not sure if they're showing it on the news in the United States, but just yesterday, Russia launched their missiles to a huge market. It's something like huge Home Depot in Ukraine. You know, just very, very huge. They launched their missiles to there during the daytime when it was packed with people, and right now we know about 23 deaths there. because of that missile attack, and about 50 people who heavily injured. Just last night, you know, my sister, she's in Ukraine now with her husband, and they went to Odessa to visit their friends. And she sent me today videos of how Odessa was attacked during nighttime with Iranian drones and with the missiles. And they couldn't sleep. They prayed there because they literally saw how our anti-missile defense system was landing those drones, and they tried to attack Odessa. About 20 drones were sent to Odessa within last night. So, you know, some people thinking, mistakenly thinking that it's not really bad war there. Well, it's something really bad was back to March, April, May last year, but now it's almost like a ceasefire, and that's not true.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're still attacking Ukraine with the missiles, with the bombs, with the drones, with their soldiers every day, and every day people suffer and die there. But, you know, I wanted to share with you this story, and it's really encouraging me to just to know and to feel the experience that our God, He is so gracious. He's really good Father who is taking care of His kids even while the war, even when we are in a tragedy in our country. He really cares. He really helps. You know, I think I mentioned yesterday that one of directions in our ministry now is to deliver food and different supplies to people's houses, to those people who either elderly, too old, or they disabled, or they sick. They're calling us and they are requesting our support, our help. So guys from our church, using van, they deliver it to them, to those people, preaching the gospel to them one-to-one. So, you know, I remember there was a day when I was involved in that food delivery, and I had a list of people who called us and who said, please come visit us and help us. So I had a list of people, a list of confirmations. And while I was giving that food package to one person, she gave me an address. She said, you know, I'm not quite sure, but maybe someone needs your help in there. To be honest, I took that address from her, and I thought, well, I don't really have time to verify and double-check if someone needs my address, my help in there, when I already have a list of addresses who called us and who requested the help. So I thought, well, I'm not going to go there. But when I thought like that, I'm telling you, something was inside of mine, you know, very equal to that voice that I heard in the Kyiv at the conference. The voice who said, Alex, you want to go there, you want to check, you want to see what's going on there and who needs your help in there. So I decided, okay, Lord, I will be obedient, I will do that. And, you know, we arrived to the address. I knocked the doors to that house, and I was met by a small girl. I think she was like 13 years old probably. So I asked her if there are any adults in the house and if I can come in. She invited me in, and in their living room, I saw an old lady, and I found out that she's sick. She laid on her bed, on that couch, and she was sick. So I introduced myself, still, you know, still being kind of hesitating why I'm here and if they need my help or not. But I introduced myself. I said that I am pastor of local church, and I said, you know, I'm not sure if you need our help. I'm not sure if there's anything how we can help you, but we can pray for you for your healing. And also, we have this food bank with us, you know, grocery bag with a good number of provision. I said, if you need that, we can give it to you. And just think of this, Brother John. When I say that, she started crying. She cried and she said, Alex, you know, I can't believe this because I prayed God for 2 weeks now somehow to help me with groceries. She said, you know, I'm sick. I'm laying on this bed, and there is no way for me to get to the store to buy the groceries. And I knew that we're running out of groceries. I knew that the day is coming when I'll have nothing in my fridge and in my pantry to to cook for myself and for this kid. And, you know, she's saying, she's sharing with me this story. And here I am staying in her house, just a random person whom she has never seen before. And I say, you know, ma'am, I'm not sure if we can help you somehow, but here is the grocery bags that we are happy to give you if you need. You know, that was phenomenal for me. It just, you know, I was so much inspired and encouraged that our God, He's good Father. And, you know, sometimes these days I hear people saying, well, you don't know my situation. My situation is that bad, and I'm not really sure if God can help me or if someone and how they can help me. Hey, I want to encourage some of our listeners today. Doesn't matter of your situation. Doesn't matter of what you're going through. He knows, God knows exactly where you are. He knows exactly what you're going through, and He knows exactly how to help you. And He will help you. He said, I will not leave you. I will not forsake you. I love you. You know, you are His creature, and He wants to help you, and He never late. Sometimes we think that God, He delays, but He never late.
Mm-hmm.
Just
mm-hmm.
as it happened to the story of this lady, we were there just in time. She prayed God for 2 weeks, but we were there just in time to provide her food and supplies, and it really encourages me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you mentioned yesterday you have a refugee camp, about 200 people. I think 50 of them are children. Talk to us about the camp. I mean, have you built housing, or are the people in tents, or exactly what are the conditions there, and what are you doing or having to do to take care of the people and the children?
Sure. Yeah, no way for tents, because during the winter time it's really cold.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
that's basically an like a summer camping area with the buildings, with facility. That place was built back to Soviet Union days. But this church, the other church in our city, when the war hit the country, they used to rent one place to help the refugees, because, you know, they started helping the refugees as well as us. But nobody thought that this war will last that long. We thought that, well, maybe a couple of months, 3 months, and then they're gonna be some agreement, something will happen, and that's it. But you know, they hosted those refugees, renting a place, renting another base in that area, for 4 or 5 months, and we were helping them also with financials and with the groceries and with supplies, different supplies for those refugees. But then after 5 months, the people who that camping owner, they increased the price.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that was a really nice place. That was a really, really nice facility and building. But they increased the price, and this church, they say, well, we can't really pay that price. And they find an old camping unit that were on sale. So they bought that place. And they're doing reconstruction there right now. And we're also helping them with the funds for reconstruction, to reconstruct. So they set up for people to stay there even during cold winter days. They set up
mm-hmm.
now for 200 people, but we want to help them to do renovation in another two buildings there to be able to host another 100 people. That's what we're doing
mm-hmm.
now. So those people who are coming there, they could stay there up to 2, sometimes up to 3 months, looking
mm-hmm.
for another, you know, rental place to live in the city or in suburbs while they're looking for jobs. And every morning we have morning devotions there with them. We're trying to, you know, because people coming there in stress, in shock. You know, they have seen death. They lost their family members. They lost their house. Emotionally broken, and they in very, very difficult mental condition. So usually within first 2 weeks, we don't really bother them. We're just helping them with their food. We're feeding them. We're giving them
mm-hmm.
a place to stay and being safe. We're giving them clothes or supplies, and then after 2 weeks, we're starting our, you know, ministers starting working with them, praying for them, consulting them, praying with them and for them. And then after some time, we're trying to help them be reassimilated in a place to stay, rental place, looking for jobs. And, you know, it's not only with those people who are staying in this refugee camp, it's not only about giving them food and place to stay. It's just helping them to start their new life, just new life in the new location, in the new reality.
Yeah. Yeah, as you mentioned yesterday, and your phone is breaking up a little bit, so I don't know if you moved or if it's just the network.
No,
but,
I'm staying in the same location. I don't know.
Yeah, it's choppy, a little in and out. But, yeah, you mentioned yesterday these people have no place to go back to, do they? They have no home. They're looking to make a new home.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. Very often talking to those people. Because, you know, we have all the notes about them in our computer, in our system. So when we register them, we ask, where are you from? Where did you get here from? And very often they say, well, I am from this city, but it's no longer exists. It just has been turned to ground. And, you know, there are a number of cities in Ukraine, on the east and the south, that no sense even to try to rebuild them because everything is completely destroyed. I mean, infrastructure, buildings, everything is just turned to ground. And obviously those people, they have no, even if war ceases tomorrow, they have nowhere to be back.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, nowhere, because everything is destroyed.
Yeah. Yeah. Alex, we got just about 5 minutes left. I want to keep the broadcast to the same length we had yesterday. Is there anything else you need or want to share with our listeners? And then before we sign off, we'll let people know how they can support you and the work that you're doing there. But anything else you need or would want to say?
I just want to appeal once again to you and your listeners and requesting a prayer. Prayer for my country, for our government, for our soldiers there. I want to highlight it once again. It's not war just of Putin against Ukraine. It's the war against entire world, against civilization, against Christianity. Why, someone would say, why against Christianity? Simply because the areas where they were conquered in my country. Pastors of Protestantic churches being killed and even being killed there. Mm. They're taking church buildings from churches and they're turning those church buildings into their storages, into their, just their campuses.
Mm-hmm.
They're taking it from Christians. They're persecuting Protestantic ministers and pastors because they think that if we Protestants, if we are not Russian Orthodox belief, then we are connected with United States and the United States are enemies for them and they're just trying to destroy it, to destroy us.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I say, you know, it's the war against civilization, against democracy, it's the war against Christianity. Please keep us in your prayers. And if you, maybe some of you who listen to us, maybe you related and you have something with politicians in your state, with your senators, with your representatives. If your people support Ukraine and if your state supports Ukraine, we really appreciate that. But please, I believe that every voice is valuable and everyone can make a difference. So I just want to ask you to speak about support to Ukraine, just to speak about that and to make it known to your officials that you support Ukraine and you support the help to my country there. I think this is very important these days.
Yeah. And of course, you said earlier, please pray, and we need to be praying as well as do practical things. Alex, I just sent another contribution. It's not a lot, but I wanted to send something to you. And just for our listeners know, I used Cash App, and the address is $Alex. And Elash, I-L-A-S-H, and that will send funds directly to Alex and Anastasia. And you also have a Zelle account. Could you give that address too, please, Alex?
Yeah, sure. Well, first of all, I want to give you thanks for your contribution. I see on my Cash App that I received it. It's here. Thank you very much, and thank you for everyone who will desire to support us. My Zelle is pretty much the same as Cash App, but it's at gmail.com. So it's Alex Elash, A-L-E-X-I-L-A-S-H, at gmail.com.
Yes, and I also said yesterday, if anybody wants to send the money to my ministry, as we close the show, my email will be given, and you can get in touch with me, and I will pass anything I get on to you. But me and my family want to continue to support and do for you what we can do. Alex, this, of course, we're going to be transcribing this. This will be the foundation for the book that we hope to produce. So when I get this transcribed in the next 2 or 3 days, I will send you both interviews. You can look them over, and then we'll plan some time next week when we can talk by phone and get more information for the book so we can tell the full story of what's happening there and how God is using you to minister to the people.
Well, that sounds really great. Thank you very much for your help. Thank you very much for opportunity to be a part of this show. And I shared today with you and with the people just the very beginning of my testimony. The rest of the story is phenomenal, and I believe it will encourage both your listeners and those who will read that book.
Yes, yes.
And
the time goes too
to
fast.
With you.
Yeah, the time goes so fast when we're on a show that we don't have time to say everything we want to say, but we are going to get it, and before you go back to Ukraine on the 13th, we'll spend some time next week and get the information that we need so I can be working on the book. Alex, God bless you. Our love to your family.
Thank you very much.
God bless you and protect you and provide for you and for the desires that you have to minister to you people. And we'll stay in touch. Talk to you soon.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Brother John. Really appreciate you.
All right. God bless. Bye-bye.
Uh-huh. God bless you. Bye.
All right, Pastor Alex Elash. Again, I want to encourage you to do what you can and pray and give. And I know there are entities around where I live, people and organizations who are collecting furniture and other things and sending containers over to Ukraine. That's one thing you can do. You can give money. That's another thing you can do. And the third thing is that you can pray. And I thought Alex gave us a very good overview of the circumstances and how he sees the future. Well, that's it for today. This has been a great show and a great 2 days. As I said, I will be working with Pastor Alex before he returns to Ukraine next week so we can get all the information we need for his book. You know, if you follow me on any of my social media outlets, you will be the first to know what's going on, how the book is progressing, and when it will be available to you. But until then, this is John Stanko signing off, and I encourage you to be about the work of purpose in your life, and remember, Ukraine. So long for now.
Thanks again for listening to Wake Up to Purpose with John Stanko. To get in touch with John, you can go to www.purposequest.com or write him at johnstanko@gmail.com.